Well, it's good to see more and more people coming home all the time, especially our brother Gordon, especially to Glenn and I. A little worried there for a little bit, but I know that our brother Gordon has prepared a message for us. I know that he desires to be used by God, and I ask that you give your careful and our prayerful attention to our brother Elmer Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Brother Bob. I'm sorry I gave you a little scare there. Good evening. It's good to see each one of you here tonight. I guess, you know, I was trying to think how I could express how I feel tonight. And I know all of you have had a real good meal one time in your life where you enjoyed it, and you ate, and really you kind of ate a little bit too much. And as you sit there, you pull yourself away from the table and contemplating how quick that went and how quick it went in, and you're kind of in a stupor, you know, after you've eaten a big meal like that. And that's the way I feel about what took place this past week at conference. I feel that all of us who were able to participate there at conference for this week, we ate a very delicious and filling meal. And that's the only way I could describe it. It started off, at least for me, at the sacrament service. When our brother Mike McGee had three words he gave to us. He gave us covenant, time, and choice. And he expounded a little bit on each one of them. He reminded us of the covenant that we had made to our God whenever it was within our life. And he brought our attention to the Book of Alma, the third chapter, where you find those questions that are asked after you've been spiritually born. Can you say so now? Then he reminded us of the time, that the life that we live is the day to prepare to meet God. And however long that time might be that we have, that's what we should be busy doing, is preparing to meet God. And choice, he reminded us that we all have the opportunity to choose good and evil. Having the ability of the Spirit of God to be with us within our hearts to help us with those choices. Covenant, time, and choice. Very appropriate words for the time that we live. The title is, Are We Ready? That's what I got from the conference. That question, are we ready? Are we ready for what? You know, I look in the Book of Commandments, and there's, this is on page 4. It's the first chapter and the third paragraph. I believe it's talking about what we're going to have to be ready for. Here in this third paragraph, it says, wherefore, the voice of the Lord is unto the ends of the earth, that all that will hear may hear. Prepare ye for that which is to come, for the Lord is nigh, and the anger of the Lord is kindled, and his sword is bathed in heaven, and it shall fall upon the inhabitants of the earth. And the arm of the Lord shall be revealed, and the day cometh, that they who will not hear the voice of the Lord, neither the voice of his servants, neither give heed to the words of the prophets and the apostles, shall be cut off from among the people, for they have strayed from mine ordinances and have broken mine everlasting covenant. They seek not the Lord to establish his righteousness, but every man walketh in his own way, and after the image of his own God, whose image is in the likeness of the world, whose substance is that of an idol, which waxeth old, and shall perish in Babylon, even Babylon the great, which shall fall. There's a lot of things here that you can go into the scriptures and that you can look to see the evidence of how God and his word and his promises of those who reject the prophets and the word, his word through his servants, when it's given to them, you find that there's swift destruction for those people. You can find the evidence in 3 Nephi, in the 4th chapter, you read about it, when there was those cities that were destroyed at the time. And right after that, if you go in that 4th chapter, it'll say, because they rejected the prophets and the teachers and those who were sent to warn them. I think about our time. I can draw a parallel when Israel was in Egypt under a heavy burden. And God promised that he would deliver them out of Egypt. We have that same parallel with those promises that God will deliver us out of Babylon. And with the same power and authority that he drew Israel out of Egypt, he's going to take us on that same journey. There's going to be those mighty works that are going to be done just as they were in the days of Moses, where God will reveal his arm. He'll make bare his arm by his word and deed, that he might shake the hearts of the children of men to repent, as he did with those in Egypt. But if you remember, there was a strict adherence to those things that God was doing, that if they didn't follow it, they would have to suffer in the same affliction. They would have to be partakers of that wrath of God. Brother Jay, in his sermon, reminded us, and he stated it very succinctly, as he looked upon the congregation, that God still chooses us, and we're his people. And there's a work for us to do. And he is going to prepare us for that work. Reminding us of the old path. There's no other for us to follow. That we're to call on the Lord that we might be saved. And that we might not be slothful in the day that we live. After Brother Oldham was, Jeff Oldham was set aside as a bishop, he reminded us of the importance of an investment. Return on investment. He used those words. As I look out here amongst our people and our young people, as we have opportunity to be able to be a mentor and to be a good example for them and to help them in that old path, that's what Brother Jeff was reminding reminding us of our responsibility towards that end. I guess one of the things that I thought of when he reminded us of faith, hope, and charity was that was going to have to be a part of us to be able to do these things and to be mindful of those. I remember having an opportunity to be in a quiet place contemplating the day after that I was asking God that I might, with my eyes, see people in the eyes that how my Lord would see those that I looked upon, that I might be able to look through the eyes of Christ to understand that charity, even a portion of it. I'm reminded that the Book of Mormon says that we have to pray for that fervently because it doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come naturally within our temporal body. We have to seek it, desire it, and ask God that we might have it. He quoted in the book of Revelation, the third chapter, that it says there that Christ set the door open. The door is open to us. That we might be able to fulfill his will in this life. And he's waiting for us to go through it. Brother Hubert, he taught about the Word of God and the truth. That's one of the ways that God is going to make bare his arm in the last days. He started that process in 1830 when the Book of Mormon came forth. But he is relying on his chosen people to be that witness for the truthfulness of that Word. The Bible and the Book of Mormon. To be able to share it and to proclaim it as a body of people. That God preserved it for a wise purpose and not to forget that. Though we don't have those plates that this came from, well, we should be mindful that that's where this came from. That we might have it. Or all the many records that we have here in the Bible that were kept over the millennia of time. And he also reminded us, Brother Hubert reminded us, that the Lord will slay the wicked, that the righteous would be preserved. So we can trust in those things that God will do. As we put our trust in God, in that work that he has before us, he has promised he will protect us as a people. No different than when he protected Israel. Then we found that the conference wasn't over. There was more that God wanted to give to us. He had prepared and he had called Dwayne that he'd fill the quorum. I want you to think back to the last time it was filled and what took place from that time to this time. All the doors that God opened. So I'm I'm with expectation now that it's full. It's filled again with another member. I'm excited. What door is God going to open? Where are we going to go next? What are we going to do? What does He have in store for us as a people? I want you to be thinking the same thing. Because He's preparing us. He set the stage. That door is open. He's going to work. After our brother was ordained, Brother Ronnie Gill, he spoke to us. If you have opportunity, I ask that you get that tape. You need to get that tape and listen to it. He reminded us that this life is but a fleeting moment. He used the words of Job. Where it says, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle." I thought about in the book of James where it says, "Even a vapor, a mist, or a cloud. Blink of an eye." I think I heard that today. Brother Jose said, "A blink of an eye, 3 years went by." He said that right out here when we were in the picnic table. That's how fast time goes. And we have to be aware and use that time to the best of our ability. His title of his sermon was Purpose. I thought of that scripture in James, in the first book of James, where, and I'll just go ahead and read it, the 23rd verse. Here it says in the first chapter of James, the 23rd verse, it says, "For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." And we in our weaknesses could do the same thing if you relate that to our covenant that we've made to our God with the world that we live in and the distractions that we have. We could be no different than this man who took a moment to look at himself in a glass or a mirror, could see his face, and then walk away and shortly forget what it looked like. So he reminded us that we have to do as the scriptures say, to take a review of our life, allow God to point those things out in your life that you need to change, I need to change, and that He would give you the strength to do it. And to be ready when He identifies that thing or things. Because it's not going to be easy. And I can attest to that. As it was in the days of Moses. You can find in the Book of Mormon, it says, "And it came to pass, according to his word, he destroyed them." Remember when they came out? When they finally came out and they assembled at the base of Mount Oreb, and he went up, Moses went up for that time to be with God and to get the commandments, and how they sinned And when he came back, they were destroyed. He destroyed a large portion of them because of their sin, or they had forgotten. Then after that cleansing, he led them. And he did all things for them. And I would have ventured to say that that is the path we're going to be walking in these last days. God is the same. He does not change. And man's the same, and it's hard for him to change. And we have to recognize it. He reminded us in the book of Hebrews, in the 6th chapter, verses 1 and 2, not to be stuck in 1 and 2. Remember the Lord said, you know, after you've done these things, you've come to this point in baptism and that, go on to perfection. Don't lay the ground to have to go back, because it's not productive. But to continue to walk forward. We were given a dream from our brother and elder Merlin Eddy. And as a collective group, we raised our hands and said we believed it was of God. And it'll be coming out for us to consider and to vote on as a referendum. In that dream, it's you'll have an opportunity to read it. And I don't know if I want to, I could take the time and read it now. But there's several aspects in the dream that I think it's very important for us to consider. In some respects, it's not anything different than what we see in the vision that Lehi had. We can relate to it. It was interesting that, in part, young brother Placido was able to relate to it because he saw, he had a dream where he saw a group of people walking in a single row in a desert. Anyhow, in the dream it says, I'll go ahead and read it. This is a dream that I had one night. I'm not sure the exact date it was, but it was late June or July, early July. The dream was not long before the tri-state reunion on the 7th of July, 2006. The scene of my dream was a vast expanse of clear ice. The ice was smooth and had no snow cover. Crossing this expanse of ice was a line of people. I could not determine who any of these people were, but I could see that there were men and women, both young and old. Those that I saw were slowly walking in a single straight line, as if there was a path across the ice. All the people on the path were carrying or pulling luggage. There were groups in this line of people that seemed to be family members and friends, as I could hear some talking and laughing. I could not see the beginning of the line of the people or any edge of the expanse of ice, as it was beyond my sight. The destination of this line of people was a large rock island that I could see in the distance. On this rock island was built a structure that looked like a castle made of stone. Suddenly and without warning, a fierce wind blew across the line of people. The people were being blown off the path as there was no traction on the ice. A few in the line were prepared, and as the wind started, they let go of the luggage they had and laid face down on the ice. Those that were prepared cried out to the others to let go of their luggage and lay flat on the ice, so the wind would not sweep them away. Some lay on the ice but would not let go of their luggage. And as the wind caught the luggage, they continued to be blown off the path. Others were trying to crouch and walk into the wind, but they were blown faster off the path. I could hear screaming and crying for those who would not listen to those who were prepared and those who obeyed them, because they continued being swept off by the fierce and steady wind. Those who were prepared for the wind had two picks, one in each hand, which they plunged into the ice and could hold themselves in place. Some held on to those with the picks, and they were not swept away. I could see some that were close enough to the island that they could hold on to the rocky outcroppings and hold fast against the wind. But all those that would not obey, the cries of those who were prepared and the cries of the obedient were swept off until they were out of my sight. They would not let go of their luggage and lay down on the ice. There was much sorrow for the friends and family members that were swept off by the fierce and steady wind that suddenly swept across the path. This is the dream. This is where the dream ended. Those of you that hadn't heard it or wasn't familiar with it, you could see that there's a similarity to Lehi's dream. In Lehi's dream in the second chapter in the 48th verse, remember well, let's go there. First Nephi, second chapter, verse 48. And it came to pass that after I prayed unto the Lord, I beheld a large and spacious field. And if you go over to verse 64, that was a representation of the world. And so I look at that expanse of ice as the world. That large and spacious field here really was uncumbered. It was just a large, spacious field with people traversing it. Brother Placido saw a desert, a large desert with people walking across it. Here it was ice, uncumbered from snow, the world. And we have to walk in it. I'm reminded of a scripture. Let's go to that. It's a scripture where the Lord is in prayer in John, the 17th chapter. And I like it because I think it's relevant to this walk in the world. Here in the 15th verse, in the 17th chapter of the book of John, the Lord in his prayer, he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, how would God keep them from the evil? By his word. By his word. Through the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost that gives us understanding. So we have to walk in this world as those were walking on that ice. How many people walked on ice? Some, yeah. There's a lot of people that never have. I don't know, I guess Brother Placido has because he's been in Missouri. But really, when you're walking on ice, what are you doing? What is your mind doing when you're walking on ice? You are focused on every step that you're taking, that you might not what? Fall down. You know, I have a... My company, Honeywell... My previous company, they sent me up to Kotzebue, Alaska. And I have all my clothes on, all these boots and everything. The very first thing I did when they took me over here to show me something, there was a little bit of just a dusting of snow, and I hit the ice. And my feet went straight up in the air, and boom, I came down and sprained my ankle. The very first night I was there, you know, only me. An expanse of eyes. Think about it as you're walking in the world. We need to be focused completely. And in fact, the way this vision is we're going to have to take that word of God and sink it in to stay. As Christ prayed, I pray not to take them out of the world, but keep them from it. And the only way we can do it is by abiding in His word and hanging on to it and using those picks. I thought of that rocky outcropping with this castle. I heard a lot of different thoughts, but I heard, you know, I was thinking of one where they were headed for that rocky outcropping. Let's turn to Luke in the 6th chapter. Now, this thing that I'm going to read in Luke in the 6th chapter, you can find it also in Matthew in the 7th chapter, but I like the words that Luke used as it was recorded here, because I think it's very descriptive to what we find in this vision. Here in the 46th verse, it says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So that's relevant to His word, isn't it? Because He spoke, everything that He spoke, He heard from the Father. And now He's chastening those around Him that they weren't listening either. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and he digged deep." Now think about this. If someone's going to take the time to build a castle out in the middle of a little island, and it's built out of stone, because that's what we're told here, they're going to go down to that bedrock on that little island, aren't they? And they're going to secure that stone and that building on that island to the rock. "And laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." Now I'm going to have to relate that first part that I read in verse 48 to this dream that outcropping and that castle is a representation of that. And we're walking toward it. And how are we walking toward it? Let's go over to Ephesians in the 4th chapter. In Galatians, the 4th chapter, the 11th verse. Right? "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what? Perfecting the saints." How is he going to perfect the saints? Using the word of God. "For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ." And really, the 6th chapter, you just move over there to the 13th verse. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to" what? "Withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Having done all to stand. Now, in this vision here, were they weren't standing, were they? They laid prostrate on the ice and used picks to stay there, okay? And think about it. There were those who were hanging on to who? They were hanging on to some of these people, weren't they? Right? Well, we know people who, through our testimony, are doing the very same thing, aren't they? They're hanging on to us because of the word that they're accepting from us. And really, that's a very good representation of the work that the Church of Christ is going to do in the last days as it testifies in Christ's repentance to the world and brings forth the truth that Brother Hubert taught about, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, that they might be awakened to the plan of God. Having done all to stand, I thought of one last scripture verse here. You can find it in the Book of Mormon in the 4th chapter. And it's the 93rd verse. That's on page 712. Here it says, "Doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in times of old, the old path. Come unto the Lord with all your hearts. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling before Him." Fear, because He is the only one. He is the only one. That has the power to bring you everlasting life or everlasting death. I guess my testimony is when we're walking with God, He loves you enough, He cares for you enough to warn you. Gordon, you're doing something wrong. Gordon, you need to change. And if He doesn't get my attention with that prodding of the Holy Spirit, then He steps it up. Why? Because He cares for me enough that He wants to affect that change. And He'll do that in your life too, because He loves you and He cares for you. And He wants you in that kingdom with Him. As I said before, that this little bit of time doesn't really give it justice. I feel that I was well fed. And yet still I'm excited and yet I'm fearful of what's before us. And that we would be able to, as a group of people, affect the change that God can work with us and work through us to fulfill His will in these last days. May God bless each one of you.